been a while, hasn't it? Before I really begin the sermon, I just want to make comment regarding a soldier in Christ who now reigns in heaven with our Lord. Brother Grady Palmer passed away yesterday. Many of you know him. He was the first elder that we served under when we were wounded, weary. We found refuge at the Powers Ferry congregation years and years ago. And they have been close friends ever since. And we've loved them ever since the day we met them. But Grady passed yesterday as well, I'm sure most of y'all know. And so our hearts are heavy. But he was a warrior for God, a steadfast man. And we will miss him, and the family also will. But his body was tired. His body was worn. So now he rests in that eternal bliss where we all want to be. Where we all want to be. We all want to go home. Have you ever just wanted to go home? Maybe you just had a bad day at work and where your inbox was just so full and your outbox was completely empty and you hardly had time to do anything and you were being beat down. You're struggling to find and keep the positive attitude and you just could not wait to get out of that office or to get out of that cubicle, to get out of that shop or wherever it was. And you just couldn't wait to get in your car and put your foot on the accelerator and just drive home as fast as you could and just pull up into the driveway. Home. Where you wanted to be home. I know all of us have had that feeling before, but sometimes our longing for home is more powerful than that. Sometimes we go through those soul-piercing, those on-again, off-again relationships, and you're really not sure where you stand. But you know you just wanna be home. But sometimes home is more of a metaphor than it is a brick and mortar wall. It's not a physical place where you drive up and you hang your hat, but it's a place of safety, it's a place of refuge, it's a place of comfort where you can relax and fit in. It's a place where you are accepted and just can settle in. And maybe today home is that for you. Or maybe you've had some 9/11 event in your life, some tragic event that you're struggling spiritually. Something or where the devil has just infiltrated you and has broken through that spiritual armor and he's influenced you to do things that you know are not right. And you're struggling to make sense of it all. And again, you just want to find home, a refuge, and you just want to go home somewhere that you can find that peace and that restoration. And you're able to hang your head of your heart up on the shelf to know that you're loved and welcomed and accepted. I think that we all desire to be home in a place like that. We feel at home with our souls. As many of you know, our family, a couple of years ago, moved up to Dawsonville. And before that, we lived some 8 or 10 years in Canton, where we worshiped right here with the family here at Roswell. But there's still a place that I still call home, and some reason I don't own it, I don't know or go there anymore. But it's a place, every time I go up North 85 and when I cross the South Carolina line, exit 4, Fairfield exit, it's called Fairplay exit, where my family grew up on the water, on Lake Hartwell. And every time I go to South Carolina to buy fireworks, I want to take that exit. I want to go one more exit. And I want to see the old place. I don't know why. We don't own it any longer. It's a little old bitty double-wide trailer on this steep hill to a little old cove. But that's where I grew up. That's home. in a lot of ways. But you know, I think it's especially true when we've been away from home on a long prodigal journey. When we've been like that prodigal son, and we've gone away to a faraway country spiritually where we know we should not have gone. And we've discovered that all the goodness that our Father had, and all the blessings that our Father has given us, and everything was so good at home, we wandered and we wandered away and we squandered the goodness of our Father. And we've turned our back on Him. And we've left home. And because of poor decisions, we found ourselves staring at some pig husk, longing for the leftovers only good and fit for a pig. And maybe this is what it looks like for you tonight. And you just want to come home. Maybe it was a bad decision with your family, or with your wife, or with your children, or with your spiritual family. Whatever the case may be, but all you know is that you just need to come home. And you want to come home where you can rest your soul and find peace. There's a chapter in the book of the Old Testament that tells us a story of just like this. It's found in Daniel chapter 9. When you're in a faraway country and you've been exiled, because you've gone to a faraway country as a prodigal nation and you just want to go home, we find this in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. By way of background, there's a couple passages I want us to look as we think about this chapter before we get into it. In 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, I believe it's the last chapter, chapter 36, turn with me there. The Bible says in chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles, verse 20, "Those who had escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days its desolation it kept Sabbath, until 70 years were complete." The nation of Israel, as many of you know, had rebelled against God for many, many years, hundreds of years. And God had finally said, "Okay, that's it. I've had enough. You're going to exile." And so He took the Israelites and He put them in exile. And that's what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20. "To those who had escaped from the sword, He carried away to Babylon. And they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the king of Persia." Let me ask you a question. Where did Abraham come from? Abraham in the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11, Abraham came from a land of Ur, of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were known today as what we know today as the Babylonians. So in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham out of the land of Ur, and He calls him to a land of Canaan. This journey is approximately 850 miles long, from the land of Ur of Chaldea to the land of Canaan, the land of promise. But as you know, the Israelites lived in rebellion, constant rebellion. And they continued to become this prodigal nation. And they ignored God's blessings. They ignored God's gift of mercy and commandments. So what did God do? God sent them back 850 miles back to the land they started from. Back to Babylon. A place where the people were pagans. A place where the people had no respect for God. Where they worshipped and served all kinds of false gods. That's where God put them back and sent them back to. to the place where they were going to be captives and slaves. Because if they were not going to serve the Lord God in the way God wanted them to serve, Him to be served, then He was going to send them back out of His presence. He was going to kick them out of their home. So He does. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 21, the Bible says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath all the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until the 70th year were complete. Have you ever wondered why God sent them into exile for 70 years? We're told right here. Until the land keeps its Sabbaths. Y'all stick with me. I know we're going to get into Daniel 9, but I want y'all, this background is important. I knew I'd run off with this. Every 7 years, in Leviticus chapter 25, the Bible tells us every 7 years, the Israelites were commanded to observe a year Sabbath, each 7 years. But Israel did not do that. They kept right on presuming upon God's mercy and His grace, and they kept right on planning and planning and planning. The land every 7 years was to lay fallow. It was to be uncultivated and let it rest. And so for every 7th year, they ignored the command. So God said basically, all right, if you're going to ignore my command and not observe the sabbatical year and let the land lay fallow, then I'm going to claim 70 of those years back. I'm going to claim 70 years in a row. Every 7 years, 70 times 7. Who's a math guy around here? How many years is that? 490. That's a perfect jubilee. Leviticus 25 verses 8 through 13 tells us about this perfect jubilee that ushers in the final The Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. So what God did was, because they did not keep the Sabbath, and because they kept presuming on God's grace and God's mercy, He said, I'm going to take 70 of those years back in a row. And I'm going to go back, and you're going to go back to the time when you began, 490 years ago. Back to Babylon. That's where we pick up in Daniel. That's where we pick up in Daniel. Now look in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Begin reading with me in verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent. Now the Median descent was, there were the Medes and Persians at this time ruling, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. And in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books of the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet from the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. What we see here is we find Daniel reading in the Word of God. And what we do, what we see here, is that we find Daniel from the Word of God, it points the way home. It points the way home. He said, I was reading in Scripture one day, and God, because of your faithfulness, I was reading from Jeremiah, and it dawned on me. We've been here 70 years. That's how long you said we were going to be here. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. And so Daniel was reading through the prophet Jeremiah. And he was longing to go home. We all understand that God made and created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. But God's been working over 2,000 years on heaven. Heaven is going to be a great place for us. It's going to be wonderful. Heaven's going to be amazing. We are tired. We get sick. We get beat down. We get weary. And until Christ comes, or that you leave this earth when you die, we must carry on. There's no time to relax. We must keep fighting, even though we want to go home. John chapter 14, verse 1 and 3, Jesus said this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Notice the first thing that Daniel does in Daniel chapter 9 when he's reading from Jeremiah. The first thing he points out, he said, we have been here for 70 years, God, and it's time for us to go home. And the Word of God is what points the way home. Now, we don't have today a 70-year revelation specific like Daniel. But we do have the Word of God that points the way home today. Just take some time and read Revelation 20 and 21. And you'll see how much God is preparing for us when we get home. It'll be an amazing place. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It points the way home. Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 22, "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you." God's word points the way home for us. It's our GPS. Now, my family's going to say, "Oh boy, here he goes." It's our GPS, our spiritual GPS. It's God provides salvation. It's our way home. But not only does the Bible or Jeremiah found that it within the Word, or Daniel found within Jeremiah, it points the way home, but look in verse 3 and 4. "So I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek Him by faith, prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, 'Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments.'" So the Word of God points the way home. But there's something that Daniel does here. Now look what he does. He says, "Okay, I've opened the Word and I see, God, where you've said it's 70 years and then we can go home. You can say we are able to go home. Now I'm trusting in your faithfulness, God. I trust in your Word. And so I'm going to be driven to my knees. And I'm going to pray supplications and in sackcloth and ashes." Daniel says in verse 3, "I gave my attention to the Lord." In other words, or he set his face toward God. The word supplication here, it's a personal petition or a plea to God. And someone once said, if you could pour out the very marrow of your bones and offer that to God, that's the idea of supplication. You could pour out the very marrow of your bones and offer it up to God, that is what supplication. Daniel is saying, "I'm giving everything I have because you are trustworthy, God. I can depend on you. You said it's time for us to go. Now I'm praying that you let us go. You let us go." And so, he pours his soul out to God. He pours his soul out to God. Sackcloth and ashes, a very coarse outward symbol of mourning and repentance. And of course, this material is made mostly out of black goat skin. Doesn't sound pleasant. But Daniel knew. Daniel knew he and his nation were unworthy. They were unworthy to approach God. So he bows down before God in this chapter and he just pours out a beautiful, beautiful prayer. So Daniel in verses 1 through 2 finds that in the Word it points home. But in verses 3 and 4 we find that prayer prepares us to go home. But look in verse 3. And I just want to kind of read these verses here. I'll start back in 3 through 16. And then I'm just going to make a few quick comments regarding those. The Bible says in verse 3, "So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, confessed and said, 'Alas, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant, His loving kindness, for those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turning aside from Your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have listened to Your servants. We have not listened to Your servants, who spoke in Your name to kings and princes, fathers and people of the land. Righteousness belongs to You, O Lord, but to us open shame. This day, to the men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all of Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which You have driven them, because of their unfaithfulness, unfaithful deeds which they have committed. Then drop down to verse 15. "And now, O Lord, who You have brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for Yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all Your righteous act, let now Your anger and Your wrath turn away from Your city, Jerusalem, Your holy mountain. For because of Your sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Your people have become a reproach to all those around us." It's interesting to me that Daniel says, "As I was looking in Your Word, I found, Father, that it was pointing the way home. And then as I bowed down before You and I started bringing prayer and supplication to You, it was preparing our hearts to go home." But what we see in this prayer is a pouring out of mercy, of repentance, and asking God, the One who is at home, to welcome them home. Look in verse 3. Verse 3, it says, "I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer." The Lord God, Daniel says. He has no rival. He has no one to compete with. It's not a God with a little g. It is the Lord God. Verse 4, he says, "I pray to the Lord my God." Not only is He the Lord God, but Daniel said, "He is my God. And I have no competition in my heart." He also says in verse 4, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness." Daniel says that the God whom he serves and the God whom he trusts, He is not whimsical. He is not capricious, I guess you could say. He doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed some days and says, "I just don't like You anymore." If he did, Daniel couldn't trust Him. God is completely trustworthy. Verse 7, he says, "Righteousness belongs to You, O Lord." He is a God not only who can be trusted, but He is altogether righteous. You see, we are unrighteous. He is righteous. We are unholy. He is holy. And Daniel recognized that, and he pours his heart out to God in this prayer. To the Lord, in verse 9, he says, "To the Lord our God belong compassion, forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him." Look, none of us will ever go home on our own merits. None of us will ever go home to a God who is completely holy, completely righteous. If God was not a compassionate God, none of us would make home. There's not a one of us in this building who can claim that on their own. Not a one of us. One sin eliminates our ability to go home on our own. Only through Jesus, only through Jesus do we have that access. Look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all His deeds. Daniel recognized the important fact of their captivity. You see, God wasn't the one that left home. They were the ones who left. God was not the one that was wrong. They were the ones who were wrong. God's not the one who turned His back. They were the ones who turned their back. They were not the ones, He was not the one who sinned, but they had. And so God cast them out of His home. Verse 15, and now, He says, oh, now, O Lord God, who has brought Thy people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has made a name for Thyself, God, You are good. You are powerful. Your name is famous. But we are famous for our sinfulness. And Daniel's just pouring it out for his nation, for himself and his people. He is laying it all out. So what's the point? So what do we need to do if we want to go home? We need to get in the Word. Because the Word points the way home. It is the guide home. But not only do we need to get in the Word, we need to get on our knees. And we need to pour our soul out to God. Because we want to go home. He is there. He is the one at home. Why do you want to go home? Is it because you've got nice flowers or nice pictures on the wall? Or is it because of the people that exist there? That's why I want to go home. It's because God is there. And His Son, who died for me, is there. That's why I want to go home. He's the loving Father. The one like in Luke 15. He's on the front porch and He stands there day and night waiting for you to come home. That's the God that Daniel is pleading to. And that is our God. He is the one who makes home all special. Lastly, in verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, and so now, our God, listen to the prayer of Your servant, to the supplications of for Your sake. O Lord, let Your face shine on Your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline Your ear and hear. Open Your eyes and see the desolation and the city which is called by Your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before You on account of any merits of our own, but on account of Your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For Your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because Your city and Your people are called by Your name. The greatest characteristics you can find in someone like Daniel is their ability to call it like it is and speak to God with an open heart. Daniel realized that just like the prodigal son realized, the problem was not with the father. The problem was with the people. The problem was that sin had created a separation between the nation of Israel and the Father. And so Daniel confesses his sins. And he confesses the sin of the nation. I don't know if you've got children, but I confess the sins of my father. I confess the sins of my children to my father. Every morning. Just like Daniel. just like Job. Because I care for them. And I want them to be in heaven. I want them to go home. There's no different for us today. We need to tell God about our sins. We need to tell God about our children's sins. And we need to cast them before Him. We need to throw them before Him. For He is the one to forgive us. And brethren, if you don't get anything out of this, remember this. If there are obstacles between us and God, then there are obstacles between us and going home. We cannot go home if we have sin. We cannot. You ever wondered why Daniel started focusing on his own sin again? Why tell us to keep focused on God this whole time and then turn and say, wait a minute, we need to focus on our own sin? It's because that's what's going to keep us from going home. And Daniel knew that. He knew that the sin of the nation was keeping them from going home. And he had to plead to God to forgive him so that they could go home. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants everyone to come home. He wants every individual to come home. So how do you get rid of your sins? How can you prepare to go home? You need to come to know the Savior. You need to come to know the one who came to save us, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're still in your sins. You can't go home. You have to give all your sins to Him. He's the one who spread His hands, took the nails, and died for you and for me. And as we learn from Daniel, Daniel trusted in God's grace to find the way home. How about you? How about us tonight? Are you wanting to come home? Do you need to come home? If we can help you in any way, home is just a moment away. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ with all your heart. Come and confess Him with all your might. Come in and pour out your soul to Him. Confess Him. Be willing to repent of your sins and to be buried with Him in baptism. It's not hard. If God's with you. But you can't make it alone. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and sing a song of encouragement.